Thank you for listening to the Better Boards podcast series. In this episode, you hear the response to COVID-19, a view from the CEO of a professional service firm. I'm Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Every first and third Thursday of the month, I speak with those that are serving on boards about topics that are high on a board's agenda. All the views expressed in our podcasts are the views of our podcast partners and not those of Better Boards. In this episode, I'm delighted to talk with Sarah Walker-Smith. Sarah Walker-Smith is the CEO of Shakespeare Martineau. She is the first female non-lawyer CEO in the legal top 50. She is a trained accountant, having worked for PwC, Deloitte, and Boots PLC. Sarah is also governor at Nottingham Trent University and a member of the Society of Leadership Fellows at St. George's House and is on the board of the West Midlands CBI Council. Welcome, Sarah. A very warm welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for making time for our podcast.
Thank you.
So now that the world is in the grip of COVID-19, what has been unthinkable only a few weeks ago is now the new reality for almost all of us. How has your work as a CEO of a professional service organization changed since the outbreak?
Yes, thanks, Sabine. It's changed enormously, actually. One of the things, I guess, is the pace of work. Work was always very busy, whereas now that the pace, the speediness of decision-making is significantly higher. The job was always about people. I think the people aspect of the job has increased enormously. And also having to use different communication channels. Communication is vitally important at the moment. And I think as leaders, we've been used to communicating face-to-face and through writing. I'm now doing all of my communication, broadcasting videos and on Zoom, sitting in my shed at home. So I would never have anticipated this a month ago. But I guess there's no rule book anymore. We are rewriting the leader's rule book as we go along and learning every day as well.
Once the dust has settled and we are all allowed out again, do you think that it will have a lasting change?
Absolutely. I actually feel quite determined to make sure that it does. I feel like we have the opportunity to do some real good here in business. And I feel like we have the opportunity to accelerate what would have otherwise been a change program that I might have wanted to introduce over several years. This has given us a burning platform or an opportunity to drive some of that accelerated change. So I think attitudes will have changed. I think the way we work will have changed. I think how people connect with each other and the importance of purpose. I think all of these things are going to be severely dialed up, really. And I think there's a huge opportunity to make this change stick. I mean, at the end of the day, none of us want to be going through this, and it needs to mean something. It needs to count. It needs to make a lasting positive difference. And I think leaders like myself are absolutely determined, along with the brilliant people in my business, to make sure that we make something good stick out of this. So I think it's not just a case that things will have changed. I think we have to make them change.
I mean, I noticed, you know, right at the beginning of the outbreak and before the harsh lockdown in the UK, within a matter of days, you offered webinars and changed the content of your website, offering support and advice.
Absolutely. We changed things externally. We changed things internally increasingly quickly as well. Sometimes serendipity plays a bit of a role. We were very well prepared, partly because we have a fantastic business continuity plan, but also we had almost a dress rehearsal because a member of our staff thought she had coronavirus. So we had to make some very quick decisions very quickly, well before any social distancing and lockdown and working from home. And it gave us a bit of a kickstart, really, to say, okay, we can see what's coming. How do we get ahead with some of this? So that was one thing. But the other thing is we'd already started introducing some big cultural changes into our business around empowering people. So a very strong sense of trust and empowerment. We'd started to change the business structure and we'd really started to drive that empowerment down. So it means that in a time of crisis like this, we were already almost in the right mindset to allow people to get on with things quickly and to build agility into the business. So the fact that our teams, they knew their clients, they knew what they needed to do, they felt empowered to get on with it. They were able to very quickly start to put content together and make changes without having to bring it all back to a board for sign-off and lengthy review processes. So fortuitously, we'd already started changing our culture along the lines that just happens to work really, really well in the world that we find ourselves in.
I noticed it, and it was absolutely impressive. Within a few days, bang, you were bang on the topic tremendously.
Yes, thank you. I mean, internally, before the lockdown happened, in the space of 3 days, we got virtually the entire business working from home. We have about 900 people, and I've only been in the business just over a year. I wanted to accelerate agile and flexible working. It hadn't been something the business had already done, and we managed to implement it in 3 or 4 days. I mean, we didn't even have laptops and equipment for everybody, but we managed to get it sorted extremely quickly. And I just can't tell you how proud I feel of the team. What they did was phenomenal. And it shows you what people can do when they have to. And I think there's a really big lesson there.
And what role did your board play in this process?
The board that I chair, which is the main board of our business, I mean, first of all, I'd say we'd already started to change the tone and culture, as I talked about earlier. But really, this meant that we had to make our words and actions meet. So we'd been talking about the changes we wanted to make. We had to live by it at that point. And I remember the first board meeting that we had after this started, I said, right, let's sort some principles out. I want 2 or 3 big principles, and we are going to hold ourselves to account for every one of these now in everything that we do. So the board sorted those principles out, and then the board then changed how frequently it meets and how it works so that we could get a cadence going down the organization very, very quickly. So the board's role shifted very much to focusing on communication and trying to get these tram lines or these principles to empower the people to start to make those decisions. And really demonstrating our actions and our words matching so that we started to build trust. I think the other thing the board did very quickly was adopted a philosophy that we have to make the cake bigger for everybody, i.e. we should be focused here on any decisions which improve things for the whole firm. So very quickly, the collaboration started to come through, and there was less of the fiefdoms, less of trying to drive performance in one particular team or one particular area. So I think really the board didn't have to do all the actions. In fact, quite the opposite. The board stepped away from the actions. The board set the parameters, the tone, the direction, the culture, the values, and then we have to now keep reiterating that constantly. And like I say, we meet every day now very quickly. We make any quick decisions, but then we focus on communication and getting the cascade going through the organization.
What behaviors and actions of your board did you find particularly helpful in the current situation?
So this collaboration and team-based idea, I've seen the board, even though we now only meet using Zoom and we stare at each other on screens, I've seen the strength of the team and the collaboration and a sense of we're all in it together. I think that behaviour has been absolutely pivotal. We were already starting to play to strengths, but this has just taken it to a new level. We're very clear who's doing what. We don't get on each other's patch. We're all there for each other, but we've got this collective shared view, shared ambition, shared support. But then we are very good at everybody going away and getting on with their own part of it. And I think that behavior has worked really, really well. The other thing I would add, might sound a bit odd, is humor. You know, we're still laughing. We're not taking ourselves too seriously, even though obviously we're taking the crisis incredibly seriously, but we're trying to make sure we're watching out for each other. So there's a whole different level of empathy and shared support going on. I think the trust and openness has built enormously. I mean, ultimately, I think we've just got good people, and a crisis like this can bring out the best in people. And I think it really is doing. And what I love, it's strengthening the team rather than the individualism.
That's a positive message. It leads me, because at the moment I get asked a lot of questions about what behaviors and action of a board are now particularly helpful in the current situation. You already described some of these behaviors and actions. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes. So I think agility is absolutely key at the moment. And in order to have that agility built into the business, you need to move your decision making further and further down. Now, traditionally, boards obviously are the ultimate decision maker, or you could say the chief exec, whichever way you want to do it. What the board have to do is take that leap of faith that we switch to now accountability and looking at outputs rather than trying to micromanage the decisions that are going on in within that. Like I say, we've set the parameters, the tone, the direction. We found a way to play to strengths and divide and conquer so we're not all doing the same thing. And now that trust is absolutely key to drive the agility in the business. I would also add there, we need to be brave. So boards are letting go of control of the detail and just really understanding the three or four really big KPIs that tell you that this is working. Because what you're not doing is devolving your responsibility. I mean, ultimately, the accountability and the responsibility still sits with the chief executive and the board. But what you need to do is make sure you're measuring the things that tell you that this is working, and you need to measure them frequently. So we have three or four KPIs that we look at in the board every day that tell us that we know that we're on the right track. Now, as we get a bit better in this new world, we'll obviously put our strategic KPIs alongside that. But we've just got enough now that tells us that it's working and that we have faith in the fact that we've got good people, they know what they're doing, we've empowered them, and we've got that decision-making devolved. So I think more of that from boards, measuring the right thing, agile decision-making at the right level, and being brave, knowing when to switch taps of investment back on again, knowing when to make the difficult decisions that you need to make. There's a huge amount here of boards having to be brave, because we won't have all the information and all the answers. Gone are the days of reviewing, you know, a 15-page business case to understand if we're doing the right thing. We don't have that luxury anymore. So the ability to think quickly, be brave, and know that we're measuring just enough of the right things to know that things are on track.
Very concise. In contrast to listed organizations, only a few boards of professional service organizations actually conduct a board evaluation on a regular basis.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? And I was reflecting on this. I'm also a trustee of Nottingham Trent University, which is one of the biggest universities in the UK. And we have very formal board evaluation every 2 years with an external party coming in to look at it. And I was reflecting on, whilst we're not listed, of course, you want to make sure that you're constantly learning. So I was reflecting on how we would do that. In some respects, I think we're already doing it. And there may be times when you want to bring in a third party because, you know, heaven knows we don't have all the answers. And I think that could be extremely helpful. And I'm sure in due course we'll do that. But equally, I think it's absolutely essential that boards need to take responsibility for their own evolution and their own learning as well. So for me, I think we have to constantly review the effectiveness of boards. Again, a 2-year time frame for looking at board evaluation, these sorts of timescales have just been blown out of the water. So for me, constant learning reviews, reflecting at the end of every week, asking the right questions, continuing with the 360 feedback, but also the team development plans that you have, reviewing the decisions that you've taken. You know, all of these things need to be part of an organic board appraisal system and the board review, as well as formulaic periodic reviews, possibly using a third party. But I think this learning now needs to be built into day-to-day activity. Things are moving so fast. I don't think we have the luxury of looking back once every year or 2 years.
Thank you, Sarah. From all of what we discussed, what are for you the key things our listeners should take away from the insights you provided us?
Be kind to yourself. None of us have all the answers here. We are literally rewriting the leadership blueprint as we go along. Make sure you are pausing, though, to reflect and to learn and over-communicate, really. Even if you don't have the answers, I think your people want to know what's happening or what you're thinking. I've made a real effort to tell people the things we are thinking about before they're even decisions. I know that's a bit unorthodox, but I think what we're trying to do is create as much certainty we can in a really, really uncertain world and bring people along the journey with them. And at the end of the day, boards are there to govern organisations and make sure they deliver on their goals and aspirations. But they're also there to look after its people as well. And I think that role now about the boards developing the right culture, the right tone, and the right environment for all of your people to prosper, I think that that's really where we're at the moment. And taking a bit of time out to make sure that we're doing that and looking after ourselves while we do that so we can look after others, I think that's probably my parting shot.
Thank you ever so much, Sarah. Thank you.
Pleasure.
How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are delighted to hear from you. You can best reach us on info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.